I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 17. I've been considering for several weeks speaking on the subject friendship. If I had to do away with all of my books except one, of course, I would keep the Bible. There's no doubt in my mind this is the book that I would keep. If I could only have one book in my possession, I would have a Bible. If I had to do away with all of my books but two books, I've thought about this, and this is what I believe. I would keep my concordance and my Bible. I'd have those two books. That is for a preacher. I don't know about you. I'm talking about myself. If I could only have three books, I would have my Bible, my concordance, and a dictionary. I think it's very important to have a dictionary. Help us with the meaning of some words. I mean just plain old dictionary. And if I could only have four books, I would have my Bible, my concordance, the dictionary, and Knave's Topical Bible. That's what I'd have. That'd be my books, Bill. I'd cast off on a desert island somewhere, and I'd get along just fine with those four. And then the rest of it's just gingerbread. But I've been studying three words, the word friend, the word friends, and the word friendly. And I read carefully every verse of Scripture in the Bible, and you can do that if you have a good concordance. You don't have to. That's when I told you Sunday the word love was not in the book of Acts in 28 chapters. That was no major discovery. I just looked in a concordance, and it wasn't there. It wasn't there at all. They preached the glory of God. They preached the holiness of God. Now, God's love is holy. He has a holy love, but the apostles and the early disciples didn't go up and down the country hollering, smile, God loves you. They went up and down the country preaching God's holy. God hath exalted and made Lord this Christ whom you crucified. You're in trouble. Now, I've studied the word friend, friends, and friendly, and I thought, well, one of these days I'm going to preach on this. Well, a letter I received in the mail this morning hurried it up. I received this letter in the mail this morning. I wish that we could take the time. I was sitting there thinking. I wish we could take the time to share with you the letters that we received from the television audience. Don't you, Ron? I wish that the people could read them. I tell you what went through my mind a while ago. Maybe setting aside some time on Wednesday evening, have you read some of them every Wednesday night. Let you pick out the ones you think the people would enjoy. I'm serious about it. One lady wrote today, Alice Crozier from up in West Virginia, and sent a check for $500 for the Mexican Preacher School. And the thing she said about that school, and she's never been here to church, to my knowledge, but she knows about our preacher school in Mexico and about Walter Gruber. She gets the bulletin. Little girl from up in Grand Rapids, Michigan, whom I've known since she was a little girl. She's grown now, about Paul Edwards' age. And she wrote and sent a check for $100 just to help in the mission work. And then so many other letters, but here's one I received that made me so sad, so very, very sad, and just flooded my soul with compassion and with a feeling that we need to say something on this subject. We need to say something for my spiritual good and for your spiritual good on this subject. Now, I want you to listen to this letter. This person talked to me on the phone the other morning, and this is the letter I received today. I'm sorry that I could not talk to you for crying yesterday on the telephone I thought that I could hold up or I wouldn't have called you. But I do appreciate you listening to me. I have no one in this world to rely on. I have no one in this world to talk to. I talk to the Lord about my problems and my troubles. I talk to the Lord because He can help me. And He doesn't tell someone else what I told Him like my friends and family do. And I read that and I thought, is this the way it is? I have no one on this earth to talk to. I have no one on this earth to rely upon. Everyone I talk to repeats what I tell them. Isn't that sad? But you know, I got to thinking about that, got to reading some scripture, and if you'll turn to the book of Micah, you'll find, unfortunately, that this is true. Micah chapter 7, because of our great guilt, because of the depravity of our souls, because of the depravity of our flesh, unfortunately, this is just the way it is. Friendship and love is the most difficult thing to find in all this world. Genuine, true friendship. It's the most difficult thing to find. And it leads people to write letters like this. It leads people to withdraw into their shells and into depression and into hermitage. It leads them to withdraw because they're afraid to reach out. They have no one to whom they can reach. And Micah said this. Listen to it. Micah chapter 7, woe is me. You got it? I want you to look at it. Micah 7, verse 1, woe is me. I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage, there's no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. The good man, that is the merciful or godly man, is perished out of this earth. There's none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh and the judge asketh for a rebate, a reward, a kickback. And the great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire, so they wrap it up. The best of them is as a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchman and thy visitation cometh. Now shall be their perplexity. Trust ye not in a friend. You can't trust them. Put ye not confidence in a guide, in a leader. Keep the doors of your mouth from her that lieth in your bosom. You can't trust your own wife. For the son dishonoreth the father. The daughter riseth up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. He will hear me. That's exactly what this lady said. Just exactly what she said. I'm going to call on God. He's the only one I can trust. I don't have anyone in the world to rely on. I don't have anyone in the world to talk to. All right, turn to Jeremiah. And I found Jeremiah said the same thing. And what I'm saying is, this is just the way it is. This is the world in which we live. Jeremiah chapter 9. It's always been so of men. God looked down from heaven. He said, there's none good. There's none righteous. There's none that understandeth. They've all gone out of the way. They're altogether become unprofitable. Every imagination of men's hearts, evil continually. Listen to Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 1. See if he's not saying the same thing. Oh, that my head were waters, mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go for them, from them. For they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. They bend their tongues like their bow for lies, but they're not valiant for the truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil. They know not me, saith the Lord. Now take ye heed, every one of his neighbor. That word is friend. Watch out for your friend. Trust ye not in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, cheat, deceive. Every neighbor will walk with slanders, and they will deceive everyone his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongues to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Their habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I'll melt them and try them. For how shall I do for the daughter of my people? Their tongue is as an arrow shot out. It speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he layeth his way. He waits on him like an ambush, waiting to trap him. Turn to the book of Zechariah. This is what our master said in the book of Zechariah, chapter 13, verse 6. I'm just saying, unfortunately, this is the way it is. This is human nature in all of its corruption and depravity and selfishness and hatred and malice and envy and slander and all these things. This is what we live in. This is the corruption of human flesh. In Zechariah 13, verse 6, our Lord said, this is speaking of Christ, and one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in your hands? Zechariah 13, 6, then shall he answer, those with which I was wounded. Where? In the house of my friends. In the house of my friends. Psalm 41. I want you to look at another verse in Psalm chapter 41. And verse 9 says here, talking about Judas. This is the master speaking again. Yea, in Psalm 41, 9, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. You ask this, when you say, well, can you read that? You say, that's the condition, that's the world, that's the flesh, that's because of our rottenness and depravity. This is just the way it is. All right, preacher, I ask you this. Are there no friends among men? Are there no friends among natural men? Is there no such thing as friendship in this world among natural men? Oh, yes, yes, sir. Oh, yes, I'll show you. They're friends in this world. Number one, Matthew 26. Judas was the Lord Jesus Christ's friend. That's right. Our Lord called him friend. He was his friend. They were together 3.5 years. Judas was an officer. He was the only officer in the group of disciples. He was the treasurer. He carried the money. He took care of buying all the supplies and everything. He was a natural man's friend. He was the type of friend that natural men have. Here in Matthew 26, I believe it's Matthew 26, when he came in the garden there, Matthew 26, I believe the verse is 47. Let's look, Matthew 26, verse 47. Here it is. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, one of his friends, back in the inner circle, one of the 12 came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now, he that betrayed him, Judas, gave them a sign. He said, now, whomsoever I shall kiss. Oh, they were good friends. He even kissed the Lord. It wasn't any strange thing for him to kiss the Lord. He said, I'm going to kiss him right on the cheek. And when I kiss him, it'll be something that I've done many times. I've kissed him. That's an Oriental custom, you know, greet one another with a holy kiss and so forth. That is he. You hold him fast. Forthwith he came to the master, to Jesus, and he said, hail, master, and he kissed him. And Jesus said, friend, wherefore art thou come? And then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. So, yeah, there's a friend. There's a natural man's friend right there. And then here's another friend that natural men, the wealthy man has lots of friends. Turn to Proverbs chapter 14. I had a friend one time that years ago, his father died and left him a lot of money. The fellow lived down in West Kentucky. And he told me after his father left him all that money, he said, I didn't know I had so many friends. He said, I have friends that I didn't even know their names. They're just coming up out of everywhere, like ants when you kick over an anthill. I didn't know I had so many friends. Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you got money, Proverbs 14:20, listen. The poor is hated even of his own neighbor. Nobody's got time for poor folks. Even his own neighbor's got no time for him. All those people are always worrying us. Don't pay attention to them. They're just a nuisance. They're just a nuisance. That's all they are. That's because they're poor. That fellow that's rich ain't no nuisance. Listen, but the rich hath many friends. He's got friends to spare. He's got them running out of his ears. Turn to Psalm 19, verse 4, and see if that's not true. Listen, Proverbs, I'm sorry, I keep saying Psalm, I mean Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19, verse 4. Listen to what wealth maketh many friends. Wealth maketh many friends. You see that there? In Proverbs 19:4, wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. Folks ain't got time for poor people. James had to warn us about that. He said if a fella comes in church and he's got on a gold ring and nice clothes and a $200 pair of alligator shoes. Now, you don't run up to him and say, sit here in John's seat, you know. Some poor fella comes in ragged and all, you say, find you someplace, sit best way you can. But that's, James had to warn us because that's our nature. That's our nature. The poor are hated even by their neighbors, but the rich man's got lots of friends. And then look at Proverbs 19, verse 6. I tell you some other way to get friends. Start giving out favors and gifts. Start helping folks. It says in Proverbs 19, verse 6, many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. Everybody's your friend. Everybody. As long as you're giving. Now, I'm not speaking against giving. You know that. I preach giving. I preach giving to those who don't deserve it. I'm not condemning the man who gives. I'm simply saying that this is human nature. I'm saying what the Bible says. This is human nature. You say, is there no such thing as friendship among natural men? Oh, yes. Natural men have friends. They have friends like Judas. They have friends if they're wealthy. They have friends if they're giving gifts. What have you done for me lately? You got lots of friends as long as you're giving things out. But when, like the prodigal son, when you've spent all you have and knock on the door, they say, who are you, you know? Where'd you come from? Well, I think I can give you a job shucking a husk for the hogs. I believe I can put you down there, you know. And then Job, turn to Job 19. Old Job had friends running out his ears. As long as he was famous, and Scott preached on this Sunday a week ago, as long as he was famous and powerful and influential and sitting at the gate, he said the young men ran and hid and the old man stood up when I walked up. But then old Job lost everything. He lost his family and his wealth and his influence and his power, lost his children, and he lost all his friends. Every one of them. Every blessed one of them. Even his wife said, why don't you, like Scott said, do me a favor and die. In Job 19, verse 13, He put my brethren far from me, mine acquaintance are verily estranged from me. My kinfolks have failed, my familiar friends have forgotten me. You see, they're not friends. But I know they're worldly friends. This is what I'm talking about. There's no such thing as a friend out of Christ. This is the world's friendship. This is what Micah's talking about. This is what Jeremiah's talking about. This is what Solomon's talking about. Sure, the world has friends, but this is the kind of friends there are. We call them fair-weather friends. We call them friends for what they can get out of you. He said, verse 16, I call him a servant. And he gave me no answer. There was a time when he answered him, when he's paying his salary. Verse 17, my breath is strange to my wife. Verse 18, young children despise me. Verse 19, all my personal inward and the middle reference mark there says, the men of my secret, my closest friends. That's who he's talking about. He said, my closest friends hate me. And they whom I loved are turned against me. Well, that's the friendship of the world. That's it right there. That's it summed up. You can have Judas friends. If you got money, you can have all the friends you want or need. If you're passing out favors and gifts, Solomon says you have all the friends you want. As long as you got influence and power and prestige and wealth, and you got a little force behind your voice, and you can turn men hither and thither. You can have friends, but that's not the kind of friends we're talking about. Over there, Paul said, I'll show you something better than that. I'll show you something better than that. He said, I'll show you something that's more excellent than that. And I'm gonna give it to you. If a man can be blessed of God to find it, there is four things. There is a friend. There is a friend. I'm talking about a friend. There is a friend. You want a friend? I know one. Secondly, there are true friends. Friends. Yes, there are. Regardless of what the world says, there are true friends. Thirdly, there's a way that you and I can be a friend. There is a way. It's nothing easy about it, but there's a way. And then there is a friendship and a fellowship to be coveted. Now, let me show you these four things. Now, first of all, there is a friend. Turn to Exodus 33. There is a friend, and I mean that just like I said it, a friend. A friend. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my friend. He is my friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. He's the friend of sinners. Did you know that? He is. You ain't got to dress up for him to be your friend. You don't have to put on a pious front for him to be your friend. You don't have to have a nickel for him to be your friend. He's the friend of the lowly. He's the friend of the outcast. He's the friend of the sinners. He's the friend of publicans. He's the friend. All our sins and griefs to. What a privilege to carry everything to Christ in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble everywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord. Can you find a friend so faithful who will all your sorrows share? Jesus, who knows your every weakness, take it to him in prayer. Are we weak, heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, he's our refuge. Take it to him in prayer. Do your friends despise and forsake you? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield you, and you'll find a solace there. Listen to Exodus 33, verse 11. Listen to this. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh to his friend. There's our friend right there. Our Lord took Moses out there in the tent of meeting, and it said he spake to him, to Moses, the Lord God. The sons of Korah didn't like Moses. The people didn't like Moses. The Egyptians sure didn't like Moses. But I tell you one who did. The Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, sir, he loved Moses. Spoke to him face to face as a friend. I want to show you somebody else in Isaiah 41. Somebody else who was a friend to God. and whom to whom God was a friend. In Isaiah 41, verse 8, listen to this. Isaiah 41, verse 8, it says here, "Be thou Israel, but thou Israel." Isaiah 41, 8, "But thou Israel art my servant, Jacob, whom I've chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend." Don't you love that? Abraham, God says, is my friend. He's my friend. He's my friend. And over here in James 2, if you don't want to turn all the way over there, I'll flip over and read it to you. In James chapter 2, verse 23, listen to this. "And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." The friend of God. He's my friend. I have a friend. I have a friend. And that friendship and that fellowship with God is in Christ. Now, I don't deserve it. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that. I'm looking over here. Turn to John 15. I'll show you what I'm talking about. God's not my friend because of something I am or something I did or something I said or something I gave. There's nothing in me to woo the love of God or to gain the favor of God, but he loves me in Christ. Paul said that in Romans chapter 8. He said, "Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ." But I'll tell you, if you're in Christ by faith, you're in the love of God. He's your friend. It doesn't matter what men do to you or say to you. David said, "My mother and father can forsake me, and the Lord will take me up." He's my friend. And here in John 15, verse 14, our Lord said, "You're my friends. You're my friends. You're my friends. If you do whatsoever I command you, henceforth I call you not servants. The servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. I call you friends. For all things that I've heard of my Father, I've made known unto you." You didn't choose me to be your friend. I chose you. And I chose to be your friend. That's the kind of friend to have, isn't it? He chose to be my friend. I didn't love him. He loved me. I didn't seek him. He sought me. I didn't call on him. He called on me. You're going to be my friend. Yes, you are. I ordained you that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. The world hates you. You know it hated me before it hated you. And if you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, I've chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. But I love you. That's what the Lord says. I love you. You're my friends. You're my friends. So there is a friend. There is a friend. There is a friend who loves you. Who loves you with an eternal love. Who loves you with an infinite love. Who loves you with a persevering love, who loves you with a love that'll never fail. Christ loves his own. He said, "I love my own." Having loved his own, he loved them to the end. He said, "I love my sheep. I lay down my life for my sheep. I love them. I love them." All right. Not only that, turn to Psalm 17. And we'll read my text now. There is a friend. There is a friend. And that's the main part of the message. That's it. That's the heart of it. There is a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus Christ. He's my friend. He's my friend. But not only that, there are some true friends in this world. That's right, in Christ. There are some people in Christ who are true friends. In Proverbs 17, verse 17, here's the way it's described. Number one, a friend loveth at all times. What's this saying? People who are friends love each other. They love each other. A friend loveth. See, that's where we want to stop. We read all of it sometimes. Just stop right there. A friend loveth. A friend loveth. I have a few definitions of friendship that I picked up through the years. Here's one. A friend never has to apologize. A friend never has to apologize. Never does. You don't have to apologize to a friend. It doesn't do any good to apologize to anybody else. You better do it, but it doesn't do any good. Secondly is this. A friend is one who knows all about you, knows all about you, and still loves you. That's a friend. A friend loveth. He knows all about you, but he loves you. And then thirdly, a friend is one with whom you can feel completely comfortable, having neither to weigh your words or your thoughts, because he loves you. You say there are folks like that? That's what it says here, a friend loveth. How long? At all times. He loves in the morning, he loves in the evening. He loves in the good times and the bad times. He loves on Easter, and he loves on Christmas, and he loves on Halloween. He loves you when you're young, he loves you when you're old. He loves you when you're pretty, and he loves you when you're ugly. He loves you when you're nice, and he loves you when you're not. He just flat loves you. Like he loves God. He loved God for himself. I just love God when he's blessing me. Oh, no, I love God when he's whipping me. I love God when I'm on the mountain. I love God when I'm in the valley. Because I love God for himself. Then if you have a friend and you love him when he's on the mountain, you love him when he's in the valley. You love him when he's good and when he's bad. You love him. Friend loveth at all times. You see, love's like repentance and faith. True spiritual faith continues. True spiritual repentance continues. True spiritual love continues. It's not changed by adversity. If a man ever loved you, he loves you now. If he doesn't love you now, he never did. I know husbands and wives who say they loved each other when they got married. Now they hate each other. They never did love each other. John said if they had been of us, they'd still be with us. You know what he said? If a man ever believed on Christ, he's still believing on Christ. If a person ever loved somebody, they still love them. The fact that you don't love them now just proves you never did love them. You love yourself. You always loved yourself, and no doubt about that. That's not the issue. We're born loving ourselves. We love ourselves when we're dead in trespasses and sin. The friend loveth at all times. A friend does. Now, Judas didn't. And the fellow that loved the rich man didn't. And the fellow that loved the fellow giving the gifts didn't. But that's not friends, you see. That's the world. This is love. This is Christ's love. This is God's love. This is the love that's shed abroad in the heart of the people by the Holy Ghost. Now watch this next line. A friend loveth. A friend loveth. He flat loves you. And he loves you at all times. At all times. And watch this. And a brother, that friend that loves you, is born for adversity. What's that saying? That's saying, this is when his true love is revealed in adversity. This is when a true friend was created by God and brought to cross your path by God for that time of adversity, for that time of need. And the man that quit you in time of need wasn't brought into your life by God. That's right, Charlie. He wasn't brought into your life by God. He walked in of his own and walked out of his own. He never was in there. He never was a part of it. He was a part of himself. Never was a part of you. You see, true love is like, it's like the trial of faith. The trial of love is like the trial of faith. Here's a man who says he has faith. How are you going to know when he gets in trouble? And his trouble reveals his faith. And his trial reveals his faith. If he fails under the trial, if he fails under the gun, if he fails in the darkness, he didn't have faith. Here's a man who says he loves you. He's a brother. How are you going to find out? Ain't but one way. Trouble. That's right. That's the only way. That's when you find out. And when trouble strikes and when darkness rolls and the clouds gather and he's not there, he never loved you. He never did. A brother is born for adversity. That's exactly right. Our Lord said see that verse? A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born. He's created. He's begotten for adversity. That's when he's needed, and that's when he's there. That's when he's needed. When you need me, I'll be there. You will if you're a friend in Luke chapter 6. But if you're not a friend, you won't be there because you may get hurt. You may cost you something. You may get wounded, but I'm glad he's not ashamed to call us his brothers. Huh? He's not ashamed. He said he's not ashamed to call us his brothers. Now, when old Peter was sitting down there by the fire cussing and swearing, the Lord wasn't ashamed to call him brother. That's right. He wasn't ashamed. Here in Luke chapter 6, verse 32, our Lord said, If you love them that love you, what thank have you? Most anybody can do that. Sinners also love them that love them. Boy, are you a friend? I asked myself, and I got to the middle of this message, I said, are you a friend? Are you somebody's friend? Do you have a friend? That's a good question. Do you have a friend? Yeah, I believe so. Well, thirdly, there's a way to be a friend. Now, let me say this first of all before I get in. There's a way to be. I want to be a friend. I want to be a friend. I want to be like Christ. I want to be like Christ. I want to be a friend. I don't want to be a doctrinalist, straight as a gun barrel and just as empty. I don't want to be a disciplinarian. I don't want to be a whipcracker. I don't want to be a deserter of the ship in time of storm. I just don't want to be that at all. I want to be a friend. That's what I'd like to be. Under God, I'd like to be somebody's friend. Well, there's a way, but it's not in you or me to do it. It's not in us. This type of friendship, now that old friendship for the rich, that's in us by nature. That old friendship for those that can help us scratch our backs and we scratch theirs, that's all in us. But this friendship is not in us. It's impossible. It's as impossible as salvation. It's impossible with men, but it's possible with God. There is a love that's shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Ghost. And that's where it comes from. Now let's look at some scriptures. Proverbs 18. I tell you, there's a way to be a friend, but this is where it starts right here. This friendship is closer than blood kin. Now listen to this. Proverbs 18, verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, I know a lot of people use that in reference to Christ, and no reason why you can't, but that's not what he's talking about right here. He's talking about there's a friendship that's closer than blood kin. That's exactly right. It's closer than blood kin. And this is the friendship of the family of God. It's closer than blood kin. It's closer than blood ties. It's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And it's back there in the, just before I read that in verse 24 of Proverbs 18, you see that a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. It's an affectionate display. He shows himself to be a friend. He shows himself to be a friend. No matter where he is or with whomever he finds him, he shows himself. That friendship in defense of you, in the strengthening of you, that friend will stand up. He's not just your friend to your face. He's a friendly person who shows himself to be a friend in an affectionate display all the time. Now turn to John 15, and I'll tell you how deep this friendship goes. In John chapter 15. John 15, verse 12. Listen to this. John 15, 12. It says, This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now that doesn't just mean to get shot. That means you lay down your reputation. You lay down your edge or influence. You stand for that friend. You give your life. You give your life for that. This man is my friend. I love this person. This woman is my friend. I love this person. I will not suffer them to be abused. I will not suffer them to be misused. I will stand for them. I will stand with them against all comers. I'll give my life for that person. And that's not just dying for them. That's standing for them when the cost sometimes greater than bloodshed. Maybe, Joe, you'll lose some other friends standing for that friend. But the ones you lose were not your friends, because you don't lose friends. That's right. You don't lose breath. And then Luke chapter 6. Friendship seeks no return. This is where we've got this thing all messed up. Do you want to be a friend? Do you want to have a friend? Ask God to work a work of grace in my heart and in your heart. Make us a friend. Make us a friend of God, and being a friend of God, a friend of others. But it's a friendship that seeks no return. Verse 33. If you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? Sinners do the same. Verse 34, and you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? Any banker will do that, to receive as much again, but love your enemies. Do good, lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you shall be called the children of the highest. For he's kind. He's kind to the unthankful. He's kind to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father in heaven is merciful. I heard a story one time. There were two little boys sitting on the doorsteps of an apartment in a kind of a ghetto area. They were real poor little boys, one of them about 13 or 14, one about 9 or 10. They were sitting there on the steps, didn't have nothing, raised by the hair of their heads, you know. They're sitting there doing something. And this man drove up in a big, long Oldsmobile 98 Regency. And he got out of it, and he walked around, kind of rubbed it a little bit, you know, and he walked around that car, and these little boys, their eyes got big like that, you know, and they ran down there and touched that car, that shiny, beautiful black automobile. Whew, boy, that thing's pretty. And the fella said, you like my car? One little boy said, I sure do. Said, could you take us for a ride? Well, he said, yeah, I'll take you for a ride. So he opened the door and let him get in, you know, and shut the door. And he got in on the wheel and started up and pulled out in the traffic. And he's riding along. One of the little boys, he's rubbing the upholstery and looking around, turned on the lights. He said, mister, he said, where'd you get this car? And that man said, well, son, he said, I tell you, he said, I've got a good friend. And he gave me this car. And one of the little boys said, boy, I wish. And you know what the man thought he's going to say? I wish I had a friend like. No, he didn't. He said, boy, I wish I could be a friend like that. Isn't that different? I wish I could be a friend like that. That's what I'm talking about. I wish I could be a friend like that. A friend loveth at all times. A brother's born for adversity. I wish I could be a friend like that. Well, there's no reason why I can't. By the grace of God, it's my own fault if I'm not. It's the flesh in me and the rottenness and the lack of knowledge of Christ and the lack of grace, the grace of God. That's the only reason why I can't. Because it's available to those who believe. Here's the last thing. Turn to 1 John chapter 1. Now this friendship, this fellowship does not consist of denominations and doctrines and traditions and customs and doing things the way I think you ought to do them. But this friendship consists in the very life of Christ in the soul. Those who love Christ love each other. And those who do not love each other do not know Christ. Now, that's where it is. It's all in a person. And here in 1 John chapter 3, let's look at it. 1 John 3, verse 10. In this, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. This is the message we've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and killed his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his works were evil and his brother's works were righteous. Now marvel not, my brethren, that the world hates you. We know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer, and no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren.